continue about doctrine. Might start Matthew. So turn to Matthew. We'll start Matthew 24. You got Matthew 24? 3 to 13. There's only 10 verses. So Matthew 24. I think that mic works. So the Lord asks us, the Lord tells the disciples that these will be the signs. He says, see that no one misleads you, so deceives you, lead you into error. And how do we know what error is? To know what the truth of God is. And how do we know that? Spending time in the Word of God. Right? And he says, it's amazing how God prepares us for what's to come. He's telling his disciples these things will come. And he's preparing them. Because a lot of the New Testament talks about how there's people come into the fellowship and they look like, they sound like believers, but their doctrine does not line up to the Word of God. So some people come in and try to mislead people to go down a different way. Because in verse 11 it says, many false prophets will arise and mislead many. And so if we don't know doctrine, and we think, if we don't know doctrine, how do we know to stand for what is right? And because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. So we're called to endure to the very end. I think of how important it is to know the Word of God. The Word of God fills our minds, protects our hearts as we read and meditate on the Holy Word of God. Ephesians 6, 11 to 12, we are reminded that we do not battle against flesh and blood. Because Satan is at work, his minions are at work. Do we believe that? Do we believe that there actually is a Satan and demons that are at work? We see that even right now. We see how God has been taken out of the government, how God's been taken out of the schools, how God's been taken mostly out of society, and we see the fruit of that. We see transgenderness. We see this is the gay pride month, June. That's a demonic month. And we see how the prime minister has taken down the Canadian flags and put up the gay pride sign or flags instead of the Canadian flags, promoting stuff. Yeah. That's right.
We're celebrating what it is actually, yes, he's celebrating sin.
And as believers, and as we follow the Lord,
we should be hating sin more and more in our lives. It should almost detest us when we see this thing. Just stir us and say, you know what? I do not like this. I do not like what the Prime Minister is doing and celebrating sin, or when other people are celebrating sin, and that we should be standing up and saying, you know what? This is wrong. Are we going to make friends? No. But we're supposed to stand up for what is true, for what is holy, for what is righteous. We're supposed to be set apart. And as God prepares us, because more and more things will get more ungodly. You'll see how when you take God out of something, it opens the door for Satan to come in. And he's going to fill that position. Right? So in Ephesians 6, Ephesians 6, 11 to 12.
Ephesians 6, 11 to 12. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
So put on the full armor of God. It's amazing how sometimes we accept things. Sometimes we don't feel like doing something. Sometimes we will feel it's easier to watch TV than, have you ever felt, I don't know if you ever wait as if this happened to anybody else but myself, but you feel like, I'm so tired tonight. I'm just going to sit and I don't feel like reading the Bible because I'm too tired. And I'll just turn on the TV. Is there anybody else? And the next thing you know, you're all wide awake. Do you think that's a strategy from the enemy? Or, I know, I don't feel like coming to church today. I'm so tired. I got better things to do for the next hour and a half. I don't feel like coming. I don't want to be in church. Why should I come to church? And then the next thing you know, you wrestle with these things. And I just like, oh, you know what? I don't really want to speak of the Lord today. I'm having a bad day. Oh, I don't know why should I praise God for. I'm just having a bad day. And I'm just such a hypocrite. See how what does God say? In all things, praise and worship Him. In all things, give Him thanks. When we fall short, we confess our sins unto Him and say, no, Father, forgive me for falling short today. I really blew it today. Father, forgive me for failing. Father, forgive me for listening to these different this other voice other than yours. There's a battle for your mind. There's a battle for your heart. There's a battle for how you think and how you perceive and what you're going to do today. We are bombarded every day from the world, right? And if I choose not to read the Word of God and meditate on the Word of God, how can my mind and my thoughts line up to the Word of God? Then I get carried away with some other ways in my feelings or how I think I should be thinking or who I perceive God to be. So it's important to know that there's a demonic spirit working in this current age that is attacking you. And if we say, you know what, Lord, even though I do not feel like reading your word right now, I'm going to read it. I'm going to meditate on it. I'm going to take this step of faith. Because, Lord, I know
somebody is trying to draw me away from you. And you also got to think, too, there's a python spirit. It's a python spirit. There's a spirit out there that loves to choke you. And sometimes we feel so tired and weary. This python spirit will come and choke the life out of you and hold you in bondage. There is a spirit out there that tries to hold you back from the blessings of God, to captivate your mind. And so when we recognize this, it's like, Lord, I take authority over this thing. Lord, I'm going to stand on your truth. Lord, I'm going to bind my mind to yours, my thoughts, my reaction, my attitude, emotions to yours. And Lord, help me to want to read your word. It has to be a decision. We could pray that, but if we don't open the pages, because we can't read the words of God by putting our hands on it, we have to meditate on it. Because we've all been there. I've been there. So this demonic spirit is working in this current age, trying to draw us away, to confuse us, mislead us, bring doubt in our minds to the truth and to what the Word of God says, that we would lose the vitality, so being strong and active in the Word of God. Right? This demonic spirit is trying to make us get so beat down and get so, just like, I'm going to put my hands up. It's not worth the fight. But as we read in Matthew 24, it says, those who endure to the end will be saved. We're called to endure. We are called to gather. We're here to praise our Lord and Savior, to encourage one another in the faith, to help one another. Because it's a tough life. It's easy to give up. What's 1 Timothy 4, 1 says?
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of evil.
Do we see that? We do see that. We see how this seducing spirit, and we see people turning away from godly doctrine. Doctrine is so key to our faith, to keep us on that narrow path. And it's easy to be led astray by nice-sounding doctrine, but does it line up to the Word of God in context? So how do we recognize this demonic spirit and not to be drawn away or sucked into the spirit of age? So Hebrews 5, 14. So somebody can find 5:14, and somebody can find 1 John 4, 1. Yeah. 4, 1.
Okay. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
So we're supposed to have discernment. And we ask the Lord, Lord, I pray for discernment. Lord, I desire to have discernment. What is truly of you? And what is truly not of you. We're asking for godly discernment. We need discernment in this time to know that we're not going to be led astray. It's easy to be led astray. But are we praying for godly discernment? So 1 John 4, 1. it again, sorry. Yes. We're supposed to test things. I don't just randomly grab hold of what somebody has said and apply it to my life. Does it line up to the Word of God? We're supposed to test it. Right? Do you not believe every YouTube video you watch? Correct. Because there's people out there that try to just, you know, lead you astray. Don't be like a Berean. Test even what am I saying? Does it line up to the Scripture? And that's why we bring Bibles. The Bible is your sword. So Philippians 1, 9 to 10.
And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discretion, so that you may prove that what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ.
What's 1 Thessalonians 5, 21?
Prove all things, hold fast that which is good.
The Lord gives us and equips us. We're supposed to take what he's saying and apply it to our lives. He prepares us knowing that there's going to be people coming and saying things to try and lead us astray. I think to this day and hour that we have, it's just like, Lord, I just pray for discernment. And sometimes people are, that's a gift from God that we should be, should I pray and ask God that I could pray in tongues, or should I rather be praying that I could have a spirit of discernment? What's more important? I think discernment is more important than praying in tongues. Do I pray that God can I pray that, Lord, I will have discernment to know what is true and what is right. God, that I have a desire to know your word. And Lord, that I would be found in your word. Lord, that I'd be doing what your word is saying to be doing during this time and the hour that we live in. Lord, give me a boldness to share the truth of the gospel to those who are going to go to hell. Do we have that desire to actually see people not to go to hell? There is a hell. And some people in some churches say there's no such thing as hell. And so there is a literal hell. And for us as believers in Christ, our hearts should be going towards those people, saying, you know what? I want you not to go there. I want you to spend eternity with the Lord. Because in hell it's going to be torment. Never for the entire life. In total torment. I couldn't imagine that. I know if you have back pain, I don't know, your knees sore, it could be like throbbing pain. Or headaches or whatever. Sometimes we, I don't know, that I'm trying to, what is hell like? I can't even fathom what it would be like. It would not be a good time. So we are reminded as to meditate on the Word of God,
It is important to remain in Jesus, to hold fast to biblical truth. John 8:32.
And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
So you need to know the truth. Spend time in the Word of God, to meditate on the Word of God, and the truth will set you free. Bondages will be breaking off. Clarity will come. When I'm in the Word of God, it brings clarity. It brings peace. It brings hope. You know, we've been baptized in Christ. We belong to Christ. We're purchased by Christ, bought in full, and redeemed by the blood of Christ for Christ. Hopefully, we desire to cling and hold fast to the truth of the gospel, so that we would recognize the counterfeit of this age. If we stay on the narrow path, not adding or taking away biblical truth, we need to stay on that narrow path. You're not supposed to add or take away biblical truth. And it will prevent Satan from building these strongholds of lies in our minds. The mind is where we start thinking about things. We ponder things. Right? Have you ever sat for one day, your mind just starts to wander, you start thinking about things? And your mind starts to wander and goes down a rabbit hole. Right? Mine does. I have this little hamster at times. But I need to take captive of thoughts that do not line up with the Word of God. Romans 12:2. Elijah can read that one. Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2.
And be not conformed to this world, but ye be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
So do not be conformed to this world. Not to live as somebody who's not a non-believer. Our thoughts should be of the kingdom of God. Like, Lord, I'm here. I've been bought and paid for by you. Our desires should be of the kingdom first. Right? That's how we prosper, by knowing God. You know, I've read this thing, was I think on Facebook, and it just said, as a believer, this place, the earth is like hell. We long to be with our Heavenly Father. It's the only hell we would get to know. Why would we enjoy this place more than the place where we're going to be ending up? We should be desiring heaven. And then on the same thing, it said, talked about how here on earth right now, the non-believers, this is their heaven. Because when they die, they're going to be tormented forever and ever, for all eternity. So right now, a non-believer, this is the only thing they know, this place is their heaven. It's kind of sad. So Romans 12:2, we're supposed to be dependent on the Word of God, mentored, be teachable. Do we desire to be mentored or teachable? Do we meditate and apply the Word of God to our lives? Do I do what the Word of God says?
We can't do what the Word of God says unless the Holy Spirit helps us or enables us. In my own strength, I cannot do what the Word of God says. I'm just going to fail and get frustrated. But Lord, today, help me in whatever aspect He's working upon your life today. One step at a time. One step at a time. Lord, help me to be, help me, Lord, to pray. Lord, help me to, whatever He's speaking to you about, take that one nugget and say, Lord, help me in this area. Help me to trust you. Lord, help me to have my thoughts that would honor you. Help me, Lord, to take captive those thoughts. Lord, help me with my mouth. Help me, Lord, with my attitude. Whatever He may be speaking to us about, and we do this out of obedience to Christ. When we renew our mind, that's the only way our minds get transformed and renewed, by taking the Word of God and applying it to our lives. That's one thing. God wants us to meditate on His Word. He doesn't want us to empty our minds. He wants to fill our minds. Right? He wants us to be thinking and meditating, chewing on His Word. Right? And what happens if I learn one scripture a month? In 1 year, I learned 12. Right? If I learned, just think of what happens if you would learn one scripture a month. How would that change your life? What happens if you learn two scriptures a month? You know what I'm saying? Take baby steps. So 2 Corinthians 10, 4 to 5.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
So what are we supposed to be doing? Taking hold of thoughts. Not to allow them to run around in our minds. To make them obedient to the Word of God. And that takes time. Right? It takes time to sit and meditate on the Word of God, to build up in the Word of God, and allow the Holy Spirit to allow you to grow and become mature in the Word of God. It takes time. Are we willing to take the time? Ephesians 4, 17 to 25. Yeah. I know we already read some of Ephesians already, but we'll read Ephesians 4, 17 to 25. So we're supposed to strip yourselves of the former nature. We are given a new nature. The new nature lives within us. But we're supposed to strip off the old nature, to die to the old self. Put off and discard your old, unrenewed self. That's a battle there. Right? To be honest, that's a battle at times. Put off that old nature, to die to that old nature. Scripture says this should be a desire of ours, because we are being renewed by the word of God. And he enables us to put off and then put on that new nature, to become more like Christ, to have that desire to be more like Christ every day. Right? And because our old nature is corrupted through lust, through desires, that springs from delusion. Where does delusion really come from? When we think about things, we ponder things. Delusions of grandeur. This is how my life should be. Delusions, we're supposed to take hold of those and make our thoughts obedient to what the Word of God says. Be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is why in doctrine is important. We need supposed to be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new nature, creating God's image in its true righteousness and holiness. What's Proverbs 4:23? Proverbs
4:23. 4:23. Go ahead. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the spring of life.
We're supposed to guard our hearts. Protect our hearts. From that flows the well of life. From your heart, you're supposed to protect it. So the Hebrew word for heart, lib, I Googled this. Well, not Googled, I looked it up on the Bible dictionary. So the heart is the term stands for the inner part of a person and refers to your will, your mind, your consciousness, emotions, and understanding. This is from the Old Testament. It also refers to a person's moral character and determination. The heart is the place of knowledge, memory, and reflection. Those processes take part in your brain. So the heart in the New Testament, from the Greek term, karta, this is expression only has many different meanings. It stands for the origin or origin of your spiritual life. And this includes your emotions we experience, the thoughts we have, and our will in life. It also describes the center of your longings, desires, and feelings. What is our heart? Where is our heart? Is my heart more for this world? Or more is my heart growing for the Lord? There's that battle again. And it's tough. But only by the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, I don't want these things of this world. I desire more of you. How do we measure success? How do we measure success? How does God measure success? What does the world say how you're successful? Money? Yeah. Money's not evil. But the desire of a more so than God is not the right way. Right? So the job I have, my position in life, how many houses or my car I drive, the schooling I went to, my education, if your wife looks a certain way or your husband looks a certain way, right? That's how the world views success. How does God view success? Your heart. Do you desire to prosper in the Word of God? Do you desire to follow Him? Do you desire to lay down your life for Him? He desired to know the things of God. Do you bear the fruit? We are battling what is God saying success is and what the world tells us what success is. Sometimes I battle with that. Sometimes I think, man, I battle with a family member or people that are making more money. And I was like, Lord, forgive me for allowing that to determine how successful I am. But Lord, I thank you that you're changing my heart to know that it's not how you measure success, but my desire to serve you. My heart is to serve the Lord. I think all of us would want to serve the Lord more and more all the time. But as a time in our life, we have to say, Lord, I don't want this kind of success, but I want to be known by you, to be a man after your own heart, like David. And so many other people that we read. You know, you think of Elijah. You think of others who spent daily with the Lord. That's success. We get bombarded by what the world says success is. And if you don't measure up to what the world says, then you are, sometimes you say you're a failure. But how does God measure that success? And I think that's the battle that we go through. And by spending time in the Word of God, then we get to know how God sees us and the things that God desires for us and how He wants us to be successful in Him. If you have a mind for Him and a heart for Him, a desire for Him, to grow in Him. And I'm not saying a bad your job. God uses your job and whatever else. It blesses you financially. But God's first. Everything else is secondary. Do I honor God with my life? Do I honor God how I live? Do I honor God how I speak? That is primary. The finances. God blesses you by bringing in finances because you put Him first. The proper order. And so this is, sometimes we have to talk about these things. How do I measure success? Am I believing a lie? Right? Sometimes we believe this lie, how God measures success. And that's sometimes brought into the church. You don't dress a certain way, that you must be poor. Or if you do this or that. And sometimes we think, that's how worldly thoughts come in, the body of Christ. It's like how we measure one another. And so my battle sometimes is, I see my family, I'm like, my goodness. To me, I battle with that. The money part. They're very well off. Do all these things. They have all these things. But I got to remind myself, this is what God called me to be doing. This is what God's called us to be doing. We need to be satisfied where God has us and to grow us and teach us so that we will be established in Him. And God is always going to provide for us. He will provide and teach us. And that's how what measures success. Because when you die, somebody's left to say, you know what? What do you think of Ryan? Do they talk about his job or about how he was as a father or who he was in Christ? Right? They're going to be talking about how his family was. They don't care about the job or all the PhDs he had or the car that he had or the watches that he wears. Or his nice glasses. They're not going to talk about that. They're going to talk about his character. That he was a man after God's own heart. That he was a man that sought God. Desire that his kids would follow the Lord Jesus Christ. To live for the Lord. And to die for the Lord. And everything else didn't matter.
So doctrine is important. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, help us to have our minds renewed by you. And not to be captivated by what the world says, that our mind or what we should be thinking about or where our hearts should be. But Lord, that you would captivate our hearts. You would captivate our mind. That Lord, we would be thinking of your word more and more and applying your word every day. Lord, desiring, pray Lord that you stir in us a desire to spend time with you every day and every night with you. Lord, that we would not put you second place, but Lord, have you in the forefront of our lives. And I thank you, Lord.